Some foods can provide much more than physical nourishment. When a food takes on the status of a cultural icon, whole traditions can be built up around it. Catherine Wells and Sherry Chung tell us about the occult properties of one very special American junk food.
Every spaceman knows you just gotta have Hostess Twinkies along. Even space girls know it. You get a big delight in every bite.
The Twinkie. Minneapolis City Council candidate George Belair was accused of bribery after serving some to a group of senior citizens. Bill Clinton put one in a time capsule. And Dan White got away with murder on the argument that eating too many Twinkies was making him depressed. The Twinkie, the easily accessible, golden and creamy kids' treat, seems at first glance just a bland snack. But it has received much more than its allotted 15 minutes of fame. All this Twinkie trivia has got me wondering, is the Twinkie just a Twinkie?
Now for Hostess Fruit Pies, apple and cherry
and Twinkie!
Cream filling!
Real fruit filling!
You get a big delight in every bite of Hostess Fruit Pies and Twinkies cakes!
Well, Roger Bonatti says it is just a Twinkie. Speaking from his home in Bucksport, Maine, this retired high school teacher just doesn't see any major significance.
I've treated this whole Twinkie thing rather superficially. I know one should think deeply about Twinkies, but I just can't seem to muster the desire.
Interesting, coming from a man who's had a 30-year relationship with Twinkies. Well, one in particular. 32 years ago, Bonatti was teaching a chemistry class and talking about food preservatives when one precocious student asked how long a Twinkie would last.
And my response was, why don't we do an experiment? And we just put it up there and forgot about it. It was just a Twinkie up on top of the chalkboard. And then only probably once it was over 20, 25 years that it began to achieve a certain amount of notoriety.
Pretty soon, reporters from all over the world, NPR, BBC, CNN, all wanted to talk to Bonatti about this legendary Twinkie. This newfound fame was unexpected.
Surprised the heck out of me. I would have never guessed that anybody would care about an old Twinkie. I guess it is a feel-good story for some reason, you know. I can't help but laugh. It's just so foolish.
Twinkies, Twinkies, candy bars. I wonder how much they are. Okay, a little tiny bit faster now.
Foolish, maybe, but I think there must be some reason it's still sitting in a high school office in Blue Hill, Maine, collecting dust. Why won't he just throw it away? I talked with reporter Debbie Snook, who's written on the subject, and she suggests that the mystery of the product is what's so intriguing.
You know, people used to make fun of how long a shelf life it might have. I think I had in here that it's derived from the cotton plant and that there's a little plaster of Paris related material that's in there to help it keep its shape. Do we really want to eat this stuff that isn't going to break down, that might not be real?
Snook says there's an element of mystery, of myth, in examining cultural products.
I think we all like to feel like we're part of uncovering some truth, and so why not for snack food?
Roger Bonatti is not the only person who's experimented with the unnatural properties of Twinkies. In 2000, two Rice University undergrads, bored during finals week, conducted a series of bizarre experiments. Dropping Twinkies off roofs, prodding them, and electrocuting them, they tried to determine their conductivity, their resilience, even their intelligence. While on the surface these experiments were basically a joke, they show us one way to deal with our estrangement from the production of prepackaged items.
Well, let's say this Twinkie represents the normal amount of psychokinetic energy in the New York area. According to this morning's sample, it would be a Twinkie 35 feet long, weighing approximately 600 pounds.
That's a big Twinkie.
I met with Stanford professor Hilton Obensinger in his cozy office. He talks kind of like his desk looks, with that cluttered organization worthy of someone who's already published 6 books on American history, literature, and popular culture. He told me these experiments and legends are an integral part of consumer culture.
Living in a consumer society, the need for myth continues. It doesn't go away. It does become a form of resistance as well as a form of accommodation in various ways to reality. So all of the urban tales revolve around that.
It's true. Didn't we all wonder about the mystery meat every Friday in the middle school cafeteria? What about the rumor that Jell-O is made out of cow hooves? For an additional opinion, I turned to Karl Marx. Marx's theory of commodity fetishism suggests this sort of myth arises because of the capitalist system of production. We become alienated from the social aspects of production, and that leads us to invent stories or conduct research on where and how commodities like Twinkies are created. We tend to associate myths with ancient religions, but their modern incarnation continues today in the form of urban legends. Author Del DeShant, who was presented at the National Conference on Ethics and Popular Culture, argues that these modern myths are a testament to consumerism as its own postmodern religion. DeShant studies things like apocalypticism and cosmological naturalism, so I approach his theory cautiously. His book argues that consumerism organizes society much like religion used to. Now, I'm not so sure it's the new religion, but part of that theory makes sense. Think about it. Many of us Americans are very religious. We go to church every week or say a prayer every night. But how much more frequent are our daily commodity purchases? Gum, cigarettes, gas, bottled water? From the heart of America, one man has turned a daily purchase into a lifelong devotion to the Twinkie.
He is the Twinkie King, you know.
Lewis Browning has eaten one every day for the last 65 years.
I used to pick up milk off the farm and haul to the dairy, you know. My route was a long route, and so I'd stop at a little old store along my route and buy a Twinkie or a cupcake. It was hard to eat the cupcakes with that icing on the top, you know. I had it all over me by the time I got into the dairy. So I just switched and stayed to all Twinkies from then on.
For over 50 years, Browning's Twinkie habit was just a personal quirk. But in 1996, Hostess discovered him, and he has not been able to live down his fame since. He was even a guest on the Jay Leno show.
It was kind of funny at first, but I've gotten used to it. Everybody in town here calls me the Twinkie King. I got a big plaque up here that Hostess made for me with announcing I was the Twinkie King. I've talked to the president of Hostess about 3 or 4 times. He's called me and congratulated me and everything.
For Browning, this daily ritual seems to line up with the routines he has in his everyday life.
I'm religious myself. I go to church every Sunday and through the week most of the time.
Think about your own daily rituals. Is it a Starbucks mocha? Your favorite pair of Gap jeans? Is it your iPod on the way to class? Myth, ritual, parts of DeShant's theory were starting to make more sense. The classroom Twinkie seems like it became an almost sacred object. Students still gather around, stare, and ask, "Can I touch it?" And the Twinkie King won't stray from his Twinkie-a-day ritual, even though it doesn't exactly keep the doctor away. A few years back, he asked for special permission to have a Twinkie while he was in the ICU. I wondered how else this so-called religion of consumerism lines up with more traditional religions. So I called up photographer Tom Altany, a member of the American Society of Media Photographers. Last year, he chaired a photography exhibition displaying unusual uses of Twinkies. The annual show, held last year in a small college hall, featured creative reinterpretations of famous works of art. One photo, called When the Twinkie Is Gone, displayed images of leftover Twinkie goo after the cakes were taken out of their packaging. Some visitors to the exhibit even claimed they could see the shroud of Turin left in the residue. Tom's own piece, though, called The Last Snack, was the most interesting. What he did was recreate Da Vinci's The Last Supper, using hostess snacks as the disciples' heads. Judas, the traitor, was a little Debbie, and Jesus, naturally, a Twinkie.
I didn't just take these snack cakes and sit them at a table. I created people all of them, put eyes and mouths and everything on them. Some of them even have ears. I put a lot of attention into making sure that the image itself was a clear representation of Da Vinci's.
Tom and the other artists took a homogenized, mass-produced item and spun it in their own way, personalized it. But why did Tom choose The Last Supper?
I was baptized Catholic and all that, and went to 15 years of Catholic schooling.
Tom took the Catholic Catechism and infused it with his own capitalist love of the product. If we want to believe a little Duchamp, consumerism like religion, and a little Marx, commodity as fetish, then it seems reasonable to assume that Tom took two systems of social organization and merged them into his own personal philosophy. At this point, I think it's safe to say that the Twinkie has become a near-worshipped icon of America's secular religion. For science teacher Roger Bonatti, Twinkie King Lewis Browning, and photographer Tom Altany, their peculiar uses of Twinkies have catapulted them to fame. Bonatti's 32-year-old Twinkie still festers in his successor's high school office, a peculiar relic of mass production and consumption. 90-year-old Lewis Browning still gets a kick out of becoming a consumerist deity, and Altany created his own artistic vision out of the scraps of Catholicism and consumer culture. So maybe there is some validity to Duchamp's theory. The vice president of research and development for Hostess even assumes the title of Twinkie Guru. If consumerism functions in the same ways as religion in our society, does that change the way we think about ourselves? If older societies revolved around the institution of the church, how do these three Twinkie devotees fit into a social order based on consumerism? Stanford professor Hilton Obensinger and I started thinking about the science teacher, the photographer, and the Twinkie King, and began to piece together how Twinkies, or any consumer product, might be used to create a secular value system. I ran my eyes hungrily over the package of Twinkies I'd brought to his office, but there was work to be done.
When you live in a commodity society, then there are all kinds of meanings that are associated with things. Very often those meanings can fill in your life for real meaning.
Obensinger explained how these consumer meanings become a part of our identity. He believes that people like Bonatti, Browning, and Altany have inverted the pressures to conform that any religion, including consumerism, creates.
You know, what's really interesting is people have personal habits or goals. So it could be with anything, but if it's publicized, then it becomes part of their identity. It's in some ways a way to join the consumer process, because you can emanate meanings yourself by doing that. It's kind of, if I can make it in my own image, then it's me and mine and not them.
Take any product and you can make it a sacred object by keeping it for 30 years. You can invent an entire persona based on an eating ritual. Or you can create new icons for yourself by comparing a Twinkie to religious figures. Several centuries ago, religion as the dominant social structure helped us define ourselves. The church used to give us an easy-to-use value system. Confession for the repentant, prayer for the faithful. Religion was the common ground, but you still had some wiggle room. You could choose to devote yourself to a particular saint, or work hard to rise to the rank of priest or bishop. Marketing is now just as prevalent as religion used to be, and images of Virgin Mary have been replaced in our consciousness by images of Virgin Megastore. And I'm going to drink 3 cups of Starbucks coffee in the morning long before I'll say the rosary 3 times. If marketing lays the groundwork today like religion used to, what meaning could we possibly get out of a Twinkie? Twinkie guru and spokeswoman, Teresa Cogswell.
If they were looking for something to snack on that was a sweet treat, that it would come to their mind as a viable option.
A viable option. Now, this doesn't sound like the rhetoric of an all-powerful marketer out to shape the minds of helpless consumers. Marxists believe that our alienation from the social production of commodities leaves us searching for ways to make them meaningful. Often, it seems like the advertising industry fills that gap of meaning. But does it really? If we do choose the Twinkie, what value are we getting?
It's not hard to eat. It's fun. It's meant to be fun. You want it to be fun. You know, the different textures have made it fun. Fun, yeah. Fun and fun, freshness, and good taste. If it wasn't fresh, the fun wouldn't matter. If it was fresh but wasn't fun, it probably wouldn't be as successful either. I think they intertwine each other.
Okay. Did you catch that? Marketing is pretty subtle these days. But I think she was saying something about fun and maybe freshness. These are the adopted meanings Hostess wants us to associate with the Twinkie. Twinkie King Lewis Browning and science teacher Roger Bonatti represent 2 ways we can take these advertised images and shape them in our own ways. Lewis Browning takes the fun aspect of a Twinkie to an extreme, putting far more meaning into a Twinkie than Hostess ever suggested. Roger Bonatti, on the other hand, inverts the whole freshness ploy while making the Twinkie his own. And while he's at it, Bonatti manages to have a little fun with it, too.
You know, we actually have a Twinkhenge. We have this little druid shrine, and it's amazing that on the summer solstice, the sun just... It actually rises right between a Twinkie and a ring-ding and a devil dog. It's an amazing thing.
We live in a system that gives us endless options of how to create, embody, and express meaning in our lives. Consumerism gives us a lot of choices about how to define our identity. And many of us still use religion in a similar way, which leaves us quite an array of products and meanings to choose from. I can create an identity for myself by eating Twinkies just as easily as by eating blessed wafers. You can create yourself in virtually anything. And in America, individuality reigns supreme. So go ahead. Choose any product and interpret it in your own way. What's your Twinkie?
Express yourself! Express yourself.